Om Shanti. Good evening. Welcome to all who are sitting here in person and connected with us online as well. So today's eco session, the topic is inner light, outer healing, the spiritual approach to the environment. And today's facilitator for the session is our dear Brother Golo. Most welcome, Brother. So, Brother Golo has joined Brahma Kumaris in 1984. Afterwards, he started the solar project in Brahma Kumaris in 1990s. Then he moved to India and stays in Kansarovar. He created IndiCare Trust, which supports hospital and solar energy project in Brahma Kumaris only. He is the advisor in Yajna for solar energy. He has been participating in all United Nations climate conferences since last 18 years and giving lectures on clean technologies, lifestyle change and meditation. And when I was talking to Brother today while we were having stroll, and he mentioned that where we are doing the meditation, the dome, he has created the dome. So I only came to know today only. And since a few years when I'm doing tapasya over there, meditation, so always I give blessings to the person who has created this, but today only I get to know. Thank you so much, Brother. Over to you.
Yeah, thank you very much, and thanks for the lovely introduction. And welcome to our session on inner light and outer healing. And the world indeed needs a lot of healing. The world is in big troubles. And I will share a little bit what's happening in terms of climate change and what we're doing also at the climate conference. And then a little bit share what we're doing in solar. And then lastly, I come to the connection between the inner world and the outer world and how actually our inner transformation can bring the transformation in the world. So let us start with... without any more delay. So you all are fine in English, huh? You all are fine, wonderful. So as we all know, the Earth is in big trouble. We have, if we look, we have a lot of increasing numbers of wars everywhere, but also overpopulation is a big problem. In India now we are 1.5 billion people, and I think 8.5 billion in the world. And the planet is overcrowded with people now, and they all need resources. We also have a lot of climate change happening now all over the world. I'll go more in detail. We have also environmental problems, loss of biodiversity, loss of animals, loss of plants. Economic crisis is now everywhere. And we have deepening social and economic injustice and inequality, and of course always the threat of pandemic. So the world is like a patient in the hospital. And just a little bit more details on climate change. So scientists are now quite worried because all over the world now climate change is affecting everybody, and it's noticeable also all over the world. For example, a couple of months ago we had very, very serious flooding in Punjab, in North India, and I met one sister from Amritsar, and she said this year in Punjab, wheat is gone and rice is gone. And the Punjab is the wheat chamber of India. And just two weeks ago, there was serious flooding in Sri Lanka, and I think Indonesia and Malaysia, all this area, very serious flooding with thousands of people died, but also a lot of crop and a lot of harvest being destroyed. So what we can notice, through climate change, basically temperatures are rising, and because of that we have more and worse storms and and we have also more forest fires because of that. We have more animal extinction, and humans are also affected in terms of health. Because, for example, in Europe now we have malaria because the mosquito comes from over the Mediterranean, and suddenly we have malaria in Europe, in Germany, which we had never before. So also diseases increase, and old people, they cannot deal well, and children, and they cannot deal well with heat waves, which are now happening more and more seriously. I was 1.5 years ago in Delhi, and it had 52.5 degrees. And it was very, very serious temperature. And if you don't have an air condition, it's very tough. So humans are also directly affected, and then we have more and worse droughts. And this leads to economic losses, and also very big problems for the farmers and for insurance companies. So we are right now at this moment where this all unfolds in a very big way. And at the climate conference, the scientists have been really worried. Some of them have been exhausted. Some of them have been even weeping, you know, because the facts and the data are quite serious. So despite this crisis, we have to see the crisis as a chance. We are yogis, we are spiritual people, and we understand that the world is undergoing a big transformation. And difficult times are also the greatest opportunity for us to transform and to change. So you see here the elephant, which is in mid-air. He's very optimistic. He's optimistic that little monkey will catch him. So I show this picture to cheer up the people, because the news of climate change and the destruction of our environment is sometimes quite tough. And it's not easy to face what is going on in the natural world. So the big question, I come a little bit more later to the optimism. Big question is, what can be done? So Brahma Kumaris is doing a different approach. On one side, we are raise the awareness amongst people. So we inform people about climate change, what is happening, what is going on. We give talks at different UN conferences, but we also give talks in schools, universities. We work with government, we work with universities, so many places. And we also are very active in the field of solar energy. We promote clean technology, we do research, and we are one of the biggest user in India, institutional user of solar energy. And we also work on natural farming methods, yogic farming. And so we're trying to bring in practical examples how you can work in harmony with nature and how you can inspire other people for positive action. And then, of course, we teach meditation to bring a change in our mindset and bring inner strength and resilience so you can deal better with these situations. Now a little bit what we're doing at the United Nations. Brahma Kumaris is since almost 20 years affiliated, actually since longer, since 30 years, 35 years, we're affiliated to United Nations. So we're working not only with United Nations for climate change, which is this one, but we also work United Nations for water, then against desertification, for ocean, then here big conferences on biodiversity. And also we work with UNEP, United Nations Environment Program. For all these conferences, you have to be affiliated. You have to register as an organization. It takes 1 or 2 years. You have to indicate what you're doing. So it's a process, and it's not easy. So it takes a bit of effort to actually get this affiliation. And we are going since about 2009. We're going to the United Nations climate conferences, which are organized every year in different places. The last one was in Baku in Azerbaijan, and this UN conference was in Brazil in Belém. And you can see here the layout of the conference. It's huge. So from here to there, you have to walk almost 2 kilometers, 1.5 kilometers. So there is entrance area with government pavilions. This is all negotiation, press conference. Here is exhibition, and here is government negotiation. Here is only entrance area. They are scanning when you come there, like in, you check into an airplane, because inside is many, many ministers and many VIPs and prime ministers and presidents. They're walking inside, so it's a high security zone. And we had 60,000 delegates, so it's the world largest conference. And discussion were more than 100 topics, agreements, and 196 countries were there. And the major topics are finance, who's paying for the damage of climate change, and who's paying for the transition to clean technology. And actually it's the Western world which is responsible, but since many, many years they're sort of trying to delay and delay and delay, paying money to the third world, which is suffering most also under climate change. So that's called climate justice, and it's a big topic. It's very controversial. So big topic is finances. Next big topic is NDCs, is the National Determined Contribution, how much every country every year will reduce its carbon emission. They have to make a pledge how much they want to reduce. And many countries, they have not given this year the pledge. They don't say how much they want to reduce. And without that they pledge how much they want to reduce, it's very difficult to reduce climate change. If we don't do, it's very, very difficult. Then also, there was a big discussion going on how to, if we should phase out fossil fuel. And you know, fossil fuel is oil, gas, and coal is responsible for 80% of climate change. So ultimately we have to reduce consumption. But every year consumption is going up. So of course, this time they said the poor countries, the third world, and the Pacific Island countries, which are suffering most under climate change, they said this year we should make a roadmap to phase out fossil fuels. And again, this did not happen because the oil-producing countries, Russia, Middle East, Saudi Arabia, they blocked it. So it did not happen. And lastly, there was a big initiative also to protect the rainforest, but that also did not happen. Because many countries, they say, we still want to cut the forest because we need the wood. So you can imagine many good ideas, but unfortunately not always happening. Now I play a little video, and I hope the sound will come. Okay. Okay. Let me see. It will play. Technology. It was working. Is fully output is fully.
Group here together in the COP, and our main purpose here is to bring peace, is to bring calm and silence to this very noisy, to this very chaotic and stressful environment. And we believe when you are peaceful, you will actually align with yourself and your values, and you will take better decisions. Here in the COP, we have a new project called Global to Do. And my inner ethics and principle will guide me to take the right decision. And here in COP, yes, we have an exhibition. Today we in Belém, Brazil, Ansonia in Belém, Brazil, Ansonia from the Brahma Kumaris Environment Initiative, and we have a big group here together in the COP, and our main purpose here is to bring peace, is to bring calm and silence to this very noisy, to this very chaotic and stressful environment. And we believe when you are peaceful, you will actually align with yourself and your values, and you will take better decisions. Here in the COP, we have a new project called Global Ethical Stocktake, launched by the Brazilian presidency, and is asking everyone to check in their personal, regional, national ethical. What are my ethics? What's my consciousness telling me to do? And my inner ethics and principle will guide me to take the right decision. And here in COP, yes, we have an exhibition. Today we inaugurated the stand. And also Golo had a program in the International Solar Hub talking about renewable energy and linking that to ethics, to peace, and to care for the environment. And Maureen today, she also had a side event together with other faith-based organizations talking about climate justice, talking about the ethical stocktake and aligning with your inner conscience. And we'll have programs every day, every evening we do live stream from our Climate Wisdom Studio, where we invite two guests, the head of organizations, civil society, politicians, and we ask them about personal motivation to be here what their plans for the future are and what their plans for the action and practical implementation are. So we are getting busy, and we're also getting used to the very hot climate here in Belém, and I'm looking forward to be with you these 2 weeks. Thank you.
I have another video, but as it is so complicated, I will not show it. So you can see here, sorry for the technicality. There was last minute change in the arrangement here, and we didn't do the testing beforehand. So you can see here's our team, and as I mentioned, there were 60,000 delegates. Brahma Kumaris had 30 programs, and we had 30 interviews also, and it was a very, very busy time for 2 weeks. And there were prime ministers, presidents. We meet the Indian Minister of Environment. And, it's working. So this is another video. So that was a bit of an overview of what happened at the climate conference. It's very difficult to talk about this in 5 minutes because so many impressions, so many meetings, so many programs. Every day we organized 2 interviews in a studio. We set up our own studio, so we were really busy. It was a fantastic time, but the situation for the world is very dramatic. As you can see, for example, the news from the Amazon is very dramatic. The Amazon is the biggest forest in the world, and it's also called the lungs of the planet. And around 40%, 20% of the Amazon has been cut down, and 20% has been seriously damaged. And they say when it reaches 40%, then the whole ecosystem will collapse. So the Amazon forest, which is producing all the oxygen for the earth, is at the brink of collapse. And already the climate in Brazil is changing. In some parts of the Amazon, where normally it rains every day, because it is a tropical rainforest, it stopped raining. So already things are happening and change is there. And unfortunately, a month before the climate conference in Brazil, the government issued 140 more concessions for oil drilling in the Amazonas, because Brazil is also one big oil exporter. So that's the problem which all the countries are facing. On one side, we have to save planet Earth, and on the other side, we all need more petrol and more diesel for our cars, because everybody buys cars and everybody is driving more and more and more. So the trend of the planet is going in this direction, and it's difficult to say when things will get more tough, but scientists are extremely worried. They are depressive, they have burnout, they don't know what to do, because they're warning and they're saying this is going to happen, this is going to happen. So we from Brahma Kumaris, we promote love, compassion, inner transformation, clean technology, we have a tree plantation program and so on. So we promote all the good ideas, but preliminary we promote meditation and connection with God and the divine. And Brahma Kumaris is promoting also a lot of solar energy. Just to give you some idea what happened in the last two, three years, some new projects. This is backside Gyan Sarovar here at Harmony Hall. We're setting up right now a 700 kilowatt system. And after some time, the whole electricity for Gyan Sarovar will come from solar power here from our solar system. We already installed recently on kitchen, this is kitchen top, a new solar cooking system. So 200 kilowatt photovoltaic, big inverter, big battery bank, and we are sending the electricity down into the kitchen, and there we have induction cooking pots, and we are producing the solar power, we are using the solar power and heating up the food with induction cooking vessels. And these are huge 250 liters vessel. So we have two of them installed, and they're working quite nice. And after some time, we will install another two pots. And then the kitchen will be running mostly on solar power also. In Shantivan, okay, we have some divine 5 minutes. So there's a picture of our Shantivan complex, and you can see here solar steam cooking system, which was built 1999, is still running, and we're cooking, we're producing 2,000 to 3,000 kilograms of steam every day, which goes into the kitchen for the meals. And we built also India One power station, which is now running since 7-8 years. And we got funding from the German government, from the Indian government. It was a 10 million euro project, very big, very prominent. And for that purpose, we built these big dishes ourselves. The light is reflected to the receiver and concentrated, and we produce steam, and the steam goes into the turbine. The speciality is we have storage, so we can store the energy overnight. And we added now here 1 megawatt of photovoltaic, and right now we're adding here one more megawatt, and here's 1 more megawatt. So we add also photovoltaic, and very soon this area will be providing enough electricity for whole Shantivan also. So Baba is sort of pushing and sort of trying to make all our campuses fit for the future. Recently we also built a biogas plant 1 year ago, and we're now collecting all the waste from our campuses. You know, waste management is a big problem in India. And so now we're collecting all the organic waste, and we bring it down to the biogas plant. And here the waste will be sorted, Then organic waste comes into a mixer, and from the mixer is being pumped in this big tank, this is called the digester and fermenter, and inside the biomass is fermenting, like in the stomach of a cow. And methane gas is being produced, methane gas. And the gas is going out, and we can run a generator for 5 hours, for 8 hours, 50 kilowatt generator. And on the bottom, we have fertilizer. So we are getting electricity from the biogas, and we have fertilizer, and out of the waste material. Isn't that nice? So you can see a lot of good technologies there, and a lot of and meanwhile, solar power is cheaper than conventional power. So the big question is, what stops us? Any idea what stops us? Clean technology is available, money is available, and it's also the need of time. Any idea what stops us? Why we're not doing it? Come on. Oh, what stops us doing the right thing? Well, we lost connection to our inner goodness and to ourself, and we lost connection to ethics and values. This is why we were so happy this year when at the climate conference the presidency introduced ethical stocktake. They were looking into ethics, which moral is missing, that we're doing the right thing. So we lost connection to our inner self, and we lost connection to our ethics, to values, to the moral compass, who is actually telling us what to do, what is right and what is wrong. This is why people are greedy, people have big ego, so they're doing what they have to do. They're not interested in anything else, and they're destroying the planet. Huh? Open eyes, with open eyes. It's quite obvious now. At the climate conference, it was very, very clear. And I would like to introduce Daddy Junkie. I hope you all met Daddy Junkie. Who has met? You all met Daddy Junkie? Okay. Majority has met Daddy Junkie. And she left her body in COVID time. She was the head of the institution and a big source of inspiration. And she once explained me about the law of karma. Because I'm also thinking a lot why we're not doing what has to be done. And Daddy gave some explanation about the law of karma. And she said there are actually 3 signs when you have some karma on your shoulders. So the first sign is you want something and it does not happen. Sometimes you experience that. You experience that sometimes. You want to do something, it's not happening. Can't hear you. You're so silent. Are you all in the silence retreat? No? Okay, at least you're laughing. Okay, so you want to do something and it doesn't happen. No? You experience that? Not quite often. I want to become perfect. I'm sitting in meditation. I want to become so conscious. But it's not happening, you know. Some other thoughts are coming, this. And the world wants to save the climate change, you know. We have good ideas, good plans, but it's not happening. Good ideas, but it's not happening. The second sign is suddenly something happens to you. You get sick, you have an accident, or you're waiting on your plane and the plane is being cancelled, which unfortunately happened recently in India in a big way. That happens sometimes to you? Yeah. Okay, there's a second sign. And the third sign is that you are suffering in interaction with relatives, friends, or members of the famous Brahma Kumaris. Does this happen sometimes, that you suffer in interaction with your friends or relatives? Yeah, sometimes, no? They don't give respect, they don't listen to you, you know, they don't follow you, they don't give respect. These are actually the 2 major complaints. And so Daddy said, if any of these signs is there within you, that's a sign that you still have karmical account. And the karmical account is very tricky, you know. And Daddy said how to settle the karmic account. There's a very powerful method. And that is regular meditation. And you connect with the divine and you sort of charge yourself with light and with might. And now some of you may ask, okay, what is science telling us? How is meditation actually working and how is it affecting us? So what happened is they did a lot of experiments in the last 20, 30 years, how meditation is actually affecting you, what's actually going on. And they found out when you meditate regular over a longer period of time, it increases your social competence. It means you love yourself and you love others. You are ready to help also other people. Number two, it deepens relaxation and improves your health. That's a bit of a slow process, but it's happening. And number three, it increases brain cells and activity. And this is very interesting because normally when you're 25, you're fully grown and your brain doesn't grow anymore. And you have neuronal activity. And so at 25, 30, you're at your peak. Anybody's 25 or 30 here? No, you're all older. So when you're 45, 50, your brain starts shrinking, you know, and you notice that you go out of the house and you think, oh my God, I forgot my mobile. So you go back, you take your mobile. Then you are 5 years late, five years later, you go out of the house and you forget the keys. Then it's getting bad. And another 5 years later, you go out of the house and you think, where have I parked the car? And then you know that your brain is shrinking. And that happens actually from the age of 40 onwards. And in addition, the activity of your brain also decreases. It's called the neuronal flexibility. Now the funny thing is, when you meditate regular, your brain starts growing again. You produce new gray brain cells. And you sort of increase the neuronal flexibility and activity. And that's very interesting because it means when you meditate, you actually become fit when you become older. You know? It's very, very interesting. And they have confirmed this in many studies. And you may ask also, how is now this dreadful karma stored in my system? And science also found out a lot of evidence, actually, what is going on. So up the picture here, you see an ultra-weak field, electromagnetic field, which is around everybody's body. And this field we can measure meanwhile. There's one guy, and his name, the Russian scientist, his name is Kilirian, and he invented Kilirian photography. So he found out that everybody has an aura. And when you're healthy, this aura is very large. And if you are sick, this aura is dented. It has some dents and it's not equally distributed. Then the sickness or disease is first manifested in your aura. And you can measure that and make a photography of your aura and the strength. And you can even define the color. And you see here are the different colors. And sometimes people have a red aura. And what is red meaning? Which mental state? Anger. If you're angry, you're red. Whoa. And if you are in meditation, you're purple or white. And they can measure all that meanwhile. So that's where your karma is being stored energetically. Here. And in your aura. If you do something bad, you get a dent. And you get sick after some time. And your vibration, so it's vibration, in your vibration of your aura, your angelic body, the karma of the past is being stored, and you take it into the next life. And now what happened in meditation, you're sending light and might into your aura, and you start healing your aura. And here we come to the topic of this talk, healing the inside, and then healing the outside. So first you connect to the divine light, to Baba, and you send energy into your aura, and slowly your aura is again shiny, expanding, and you get rid of the trigger points and the negative sort of dents which are in your aura. These are your weak spots, and usually there are organs which are corresponding to the weakness in the aura, you know? So it's all interconnected, and the color also. So when you meditate regular, you start actually healing your aura. And you can do that purposely in meditation. We'll do a meditation also where we heal our aura. So our mind is actually all the time connected. And our aura, our energy field, is talking to all the other energy fields in the world. And energetically, we are all connected. We're all connected to each other, but we're also connected to matter. And that's very, very interesting, because that's the basis, what Baba says, the service to the mind is the most powerful, because it starts to heal the self, but it also starts to heal the world. And we have a very nice project called Sustainable Yogic Farming, in which we meditate with nature around us, with this field. And here you see some results, and that is with carrots. So you see here the chemical carrots, which are very standard carrots in the soil. You put some fertilizer, you put some chemicals against the bugs and all this. Then you have the organic carrots without fertilizer, without anything. And you have the yogic carrots. They are the ones with love and compassion. And when you meditate with them and you say, "You carrot is very good. You're growing very fast. You will have enough water even if you don't put water, and no bugs can harm you." This is what you tell to the carrots, the yogic carrots, and they become the biggest. And we sent these carrots to the laboratory and tested it, and we found out they have the highest nutritional content. Isn't that interesting? They're not only the most tasty, but they're also the most healthy one with the highest number of vitamins, etc., etc., just by the power of our thoughts. And that's what I shared with you before. Our aura, our energy field is related to our thoughts, to our mindset. So if I change my mindset, my energy field reaches out and touches other energy fields. And that's how we can start healing ourselves and healing the outside. Here you see some yogic kheti or yogic farming on wheat. And you see with meditation and without. You see the difference? So we have up to 30% more harvest if we meditate with the field and with the seeds. So this project is very successful. It is done by our rural wing. We have a webpage there, yogikkheti.org, and you will find more information. So what does it mean is, it means everything connects to everything else. Realize that everything connects to everything else. And that is Leonardo da Vinci. He said it 500 years ago. Unfortunately, our modern world doesn't believe in that. Their specialty of science is that everything is separate, separate, separate. And modern science is telling us, whatever you think, whatever you feel, it doesn't matter. And the yogis, they're saying, we first have to heal our heart. If we heal our heart, if we strengthen our aura, make it shiny again, we reach out and we start healing the world. That easy it is. And basically, as long as our karma is very heavy, it is a little bit difficult. Because karma, as we have seen, doesn't allow us to do what we would like to do. I want to become perfect, but karma doesn't allow me because my energy field is yet not there. I cannot just do like this and my energy field is being healed. It took many, many lives to sort of damage it and degrade it. And it takes some effort. It takes meditation power to reverse the process. So what we have to do is we have to imagine our perfect world. You know, there's a very lovely song from a very famous pop group, and he was singing, "Imagine all the people living in harmony." This was John Lennon and the Beatles. "Let It Be." And "Imagine," a very famous song. So we have to imagine the world of future, Satyuga, the world of truth and beauty. And what's the most important ingredient in that world? What's the most important emotion? Love. Who said it? You get 100 points. When you have 100,000 points, you get 3 bonus points. and then everything will become more easy. So, love is the most important. Where there is love, it can heal everything. And it is said that God's love is the most powerful emotion in the world. Where there's love, there's harmony, beauty, and peace. And then comes perfection, purity, bliss, prosperity, happiness, timeless, and justice. And the good news is, in internet, in the golden age, we have no internet and we have no social media. Isn't that nice? In Australia, I read that they just banned social media for the youngsters under 16 years because they found out it is so bad for them. So basically what we have to do is we all have to join hands and join hands together and jointly create this beautiful energy field by healing our own aura, by healing our own angelic body. And how we're healing it? We're healing it through powerful yoga, also called tapasya, where the old negative vibration is being burned to ash and we become free ourselves from the influence from the past, and then our aura is growing. We take the light from Baba and then we send the light into nature, into physical reality. And then Baba says transformation of the world is going to happen. So it's actually our thoughts and our emotion which are bringing a transformation and which are literally creating Sat Yuga. So time is already up. It is very, very short. It's already 10 minutes to 6. And I hope in this very, very short overview, you have seen what's going on in climate change. It's a very dramatic situation and scientists are telling us any time now the system can collapse, with dramatic consequences for food production and so on. We are doing a lot in Brahma Kumaris. We have a lot of solar. Baba is pushing a lot of installations everywhere. We are the biggest institutional user. We have a lot of projects, tree plantation program, yogic farming program, and you can see the power of our thoughts when we heal our inner world, when we heal our emotions, when we heal our astral body or our angelic body, we start reaching out with the light and we send the light into physical reality. And then we become change makers and we become master over matter. Baba many times speaks about that. The children will become master almighty and the matter will serve us. And that's what's going to happen when we heal ourself on the inside. So I hope you have been a little bit inspired and understand a bit more the connections and how that all is going to work. And if you like more informations, here is our solar webpage. Here is Yogis for Future. That's a meditation platform. Here is ecobrahmakumaris.org. Here you will find all the informations on the environment. And of course, our Brahma Kumaris webpage is also there. Yeah, so nothing is left over than to do a meditation with you. So can we have some red light? Or you have any questions, something? No, not really. Yeah. At the end, I have also some brochures. And I have a blessing card, which I give to everybody. And you can also meet me. I'm around if you're interested to learn a bit more about the solar and about what the Brahma Kumaris Environment Initiative is doing. We have a newsletter and in each country we also have a green angel and somebody who's a little bit coordinating. So you can talk to me if you want to receive our newsletters. Okay? Huh? Okay. We get another announcement.
Please accept heartfelt thanks, Brother Golo. It was such a wonderful session, and what my takeaway is that if I change my thoughts, that can change, that can make a difference in the world. So we are ending this session here, and thank you so much for joining online and face to face. And we will do a little bit meditation as brother advised. Thank you.
Om Shanti. Okay, thank you. Okay, let's have some red light. Thank you. Om Shanti. And let us relax. Take a deep breath. And relax all the muscles. Sit very comfortable. And concentrate in our forehead. I am a soul, a being of light, and I am connecting to Baba, the Supreme Being. I'm taking in the vibrations. I take in the power from Baba, and I'm sending in the light from Baba, and I'm sending the light into my aura. I'm healing myself. I forgive myself for all the actions of the past. I forgive myself for all the negativity of the past. I am free of the past. I'm sending Baba's love and light to all those with whom I have problems. I forgive myself. I forgive them. I'm healing my aura. I'm healing my energy field. I become very peaceful, very relaxed. And I'm sending this light into the world, to the nature, to the animals, to the trees, to water, to the earth. I'm healing myself. And I'm healing the planet. I become a master. I become a donor of light, a lighthouse and a mighthouse. I become a healer and a magician. This is my duty in this time, to send love and light to the world and to all the souls. Om Shanti. Om Shanti.